But Chair, I have to say you've been very frank in your observation on the previous resolutions. I haven't come across a chairman before who's been so open in saying, yes, the issue was this, and yes, the issue was that. A lot of chairs don't even read these proxy reports and claim to not have any idea. So thank you for your very forthright and open answers, and obviously this time we've got a bigger project again. And sometimes these government boxes can get a bit carried away with their formulas. Vectom's performed spectacularly. The brief of the numbers, the pay doesn't look particularly outrageous. So what is the issue with the proxy advisors that has piqued even more interest from your institutional shareholders towards the project than the two projects from the
It is a little disappointing to see a 15% vote. And I think I can only put it down to, I don't have any really specific answers to this because I haven't been briefed if there are any, but I think it's to do with the fact that we do, when we come to one of the other items, which I can't really predict, but on the next item, it's to do with the options and issuing of options, basically. And we're in transition, and I think we probably haven't communicated. I think we're probably guilty of not communicating the way or the philosophy behind the issue of those options. We're using, for instance, measures with Matthew Chun. We're using financial measures that relate to his part of the business, being the Vectom, the funds management business, to put it simply, and relate to those measures. And effectively, his hurdle rates relate to the prospectus targets that are contained there, which are related to the earnings before interest and tax. Now, the standard a type of measure that the Shareholders Association and other companies may use relates options mainly more to a vesting scale related to total shareholder return. And we've deliberately chosen it, and the Remuneration Committee has considered this issue. We've initially set these targets for the various people who've had options issued related to their own business, because it's contributing to that. We think if they can contribute there, that will deliver the goods at the group level. Now, that we'll admit that is a philosophical issue, and it is at odds with what maybe some people are recommending. We happen to think it's a very good way to go. But like everything, these are evolving, and we'll look at that. So I think we haven't, our communication, we probably haven't set out in our notice of meeting, for instance, with the rundown of the options notice, we haven't set out the necessary hurdle rates and things. And I think what we're going to do is embark on a program following this meeting to get with various people and groups to sort of explain what our rationale is behind. Matthew Reed, who sort of covers a lot of this area, Hamish, we ought to do this. So this is the reason why we think we should be rewarding people the way we do, and these are the targets we've set. The other thing is too, because we haven't been a listed company, one of the things you find is that the proportion of what you might call at-risk remuneration is fairly low compared to the base salaries that the executives have enjoyed. That's because we didn't have an opportunity to issue shares in the past. So that will change over time. So the at-risk proportion should increase as opposed to the base salary. So at the moment, you'd say we're probably a little bit guilty of having not as much at-risk as other companies might have. So they're some of the reasons I'm surmising, because I haven't had that, as to why people might be doing that. So I think it's a fair problem. And yeah, we're disappointed with that. And these are the sort of issues that we'll take on board and talk about as a board.